change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Greetings, my friends. This is Mickey Desai of the Nonprofit Snapcast. This is episode number 3 of our conversation with Dr. Jeremy Dahl of the Deep Forest Field School. This wraps up our conversation with Dr. Dahl, and I'm sure you can see that it was definitely a very unorthodox conversation with some very unorthodox strategies and frustrations at hand. Hope it's been an interesting learning experience for you, as it was for both myself and Caroline. And thank you for joining us on our Facebook page, the Nonprofit Snapcast Facebook page, and joining us on the conversation there about this particular, I guess we could call it a case study, with Dr. Dahl and the Deep Forest Field School. Here's the last episode. Thanks, as always, for listening, and we'll see you guys online. Hello, this is the Nonprofit Snapcast. Thank you for joining us. We are recording, as always, in Strongbox West in the sunny city of Atlanta. Today at the table we have
Caroline Eccles with Wellspring Nonprofit Resource.
And
Jeremy Dahl from the Deep Forest Field School.
And let's pick up where we left off. Caroline, you were about to ask a couple questions.
So I was asking, we're talking about the program, and we touched on teaching teachers and what a great way to go about the program, because then those teachers would teach the children and you could really spread the program. So teaching the teachers is...
How do you get to do that? Where do you get to do that?
Has proven very difficult for my skills anyway. Just getting into the schools and getting students out of the classroom poses a major problem. The basic paradigm for reaching out to schools and getting kids was to get them out of the classroom, so that the big emphasis on experiential learning. And the paradigm was pretty straightforward. There would be a local piece of woods, and I would have a light meter with me and a thermometer, and we'd go towards the woods, and I'd say, right, let's stop. Okay, well, you know, what's the sky cover? Can you do it in tenths? Using decimals to observe the sky cover.
Huh.
Let's take a temperature. Okay. And I actually had a lot of thermometers, and they were armored, very useful when you've got kids. They can drop them and they don't break. Mm. And they all got to measure the temperature.
You're just talking about ambient air temperature.
Just ambient air. Okay. Okay. Ambient air temperature. Somewhere, you know, try and get a little shade. Now let's go in the woods. All right. What's the light level now? Oh, what's the temperature? Is that the same? And of course it isn't. It's radically different. And so, you know, the teacher gets to see, oh, you know, just making these simple comparisons is teaching them about measurement and numbers and how the world works. Schools were resistant. It's a bit outrageous to have some guy come in and take cut off your kids into the woods. I've never, ever had, although I've suggested it any number, I've never, ever had a school say, wow, all our teachers need to have this because it's part now of what their kids are learning, and they can capitalize on it. So very, very disappointing. And, you know, one of the issues is there are only so many trees that you can clean for a reasonable amount of money to have anything left over to devote to educational purposes. I have had a total of $25 donated to the Deep Forest Field School since it started in 2002, other than some notable foundation grants to do work in Avondale. We're now currently working on a National Fish and Wildlife Foundation grant, which was made to the Friends of Briar Lake Park. But no corporate donations. I and the board of directors at the beginning formulated a particular plan whereby we were going to take advantage of the wooden frame industry. Particular company here in Atlanta making fine art frames and doing fine art printing was in contact with national companies that were using tropical woods to make their frames. Well, was it, you know, guaranteed, you know, sustainable tropical woods? No, but they could be making a donation to help trees in where the wood's being used in Atlanta. And so we had 4 or 5 big companies lined up, donate enough money to be able to expand Machete Man services and definitely expand our educational aims. And then, recession.
Right, of course.
By virtue of the fact that I and a few dedicated folks were able to go out and hack the hell out of your nasty privetses for a couple of years, the Deep Forest Field School would have gone the way of 60% of all the other non-profits in Georgia. But we survived by dint of the sword.
Sure. So let me sorry, Caroline.
Well, I was just going to ask, are there any high schools that have forests on the campus, and would that be a way to use what's there and then to get the children
into... great work with Paideia.
Okay.
Yeah, Paideia came up with funds to and community projects to clean up the woods on the creek right next door, Lower Water Creek.
So I'm sort of astonished that you've only gotten a $25 contribution from an individual since 2002.
People think that nonprofits are ripping you off. Hmm. I think it's a general problem. I mean, it's certainly one that I've experienced. You know, I mean, I think you said it earlier on in another episode. You know, we're a bit of a weird organization. It's not, oh, yeah, I know organizations like Machete Man. Yeah, sure. Here's $50, you know.
Right.
No, it doesn't seem to work like that.
Do you work with other nonprofits like Georgia Wildlife Federation or National Wildlife? And then Wilderness Works is a little different, but that's children who go out in nature and learn about camping and build confidence. And
I still want to see a bunch of kids running around with machetes.
I don't want to see that.
In my dreams. They're all controlled and trained by me. You know, dominating.
Minions,
yeah. So what was it?
The different nonprofits in Atlanta that you could partner with.
Right. So it's been interesting since summer last year. I was contacted by the Natural Systems Subcommittee of the Decatur Environmental Sustainability Board about their natural systems and how to deal with them, and the fact that they had institutionally inherited the United Methodist Children's Home property, uh-huh, now known as Legacy. And through that subcommittee, they brought in people from the Georgia Native Plant Society, folks concerned with amphibians, mm-hmm, a number of other non-profit agencies, for us to be able to hassle out how to go about doing it and what the rationales would be and how each of us could be involved. We have always liked the whole idea of collaborating with Trees Atlanta, but their director told me many years ago I was wasting my time. And that glycophosphates were the way to go, and I was wasting my time. And now we know glycophosphates are dangerous, and we got to restrict their use. And the thing is that they don't work as well as a bunch of people with machetes. They really don't. We do a great job. You can't really do a better job using herbicides. I made a decision way back when I'd found out enough about the chemical industry and how to best use it if possible. And there are very good ways of using some of the most uninvasive of herbicides, to wit the cut and treat approach, where a tiny amount is introduced to the plant. At the moment, I would say that the major educational aim that I would have is to demonstrate for the entire community that companies who go in and use herbicides and goats and sheep, mm-hmm, and all of those destructive are destroying the forest of the future.
Wait, even with goats and sheep?
Oh, totally. Yeah, they goats eat everything. So this is...
So they're eating the good plants too.
It's one of the paradigms of which I'm bringing to the whole strategic approach. Trees grow and develop. It's called a process of secondary succession. You got to have little seedlings and saplings growing up to start replacing the woods to have a broad age range. Goats eat them all. What they don't do is eat the kudzu root. So yeah, let's get rid of the kudzu. Yeah, the goats are going to be great. Oh, look at those goats. Oh, the kudzu's gone. Oh, take the goats away. A week later, oh, what? That kudzu just came back. Look at that. It's only growing at 9 inches a day.
Right.
Was it 8 inches a day and 9 feet a week? I've seen people, I've talked to people who said, yeah, man, I was on my hammock and, you know, I watched it crawl across the wall. It was like, and it does. It grows that fast.
Yeah, it does.
So with your fundraising, when you go to these communities and with your volunteers and everything else, do you collect those names so you can reach out to them again to ask them to donate?
oh, I'm terrible at getting people to give me money. I think a lot of people find it really difficult.
Well, I'm listening to you talk, and it seems like what you're talking about is in some ways a classic struggle for a lot of nonprofits, in that they have this passionate cause that they want to serve and a ton of passion for it. And in your case, you have the good fortune of having a bunch of friends who can help you do things and make things happen.
They're employees.
They're right. So what you don't have, when, at least based on what I'm hearing you say, is the thing that I think a lot of nonprofits wrestle with, is how do you market yourself to a larger audience, both for fundraising and for community participation? And I think that's a very common struggle for a lot of people. But,
here.
Yeah. So again, it's that weird place where you're the director of a nonprofit. You have to wear every single hat in the world. How then do you turn around and make time to play the marketing game, which includes the stuff that's Karen's right. talking about? Like, how do you make sure you're in touch with the folks that you worked with 2 years ago?
Well, it's amazing, you see, because if I get excited and enthusiastic about something like this, one of the reasons is because there's a whole bunch of other people who get excited and enthusiastic about this. And some of them say, I want to be a machete man. And I say, okay, go get your green belt, come back, and brown belt. And I let a lot of people in now.
Sure.
Particularly people who have a particular set of skills that's not necessarily martial arts. So I now have an outreach coordinator.
Okay.
Is Catherine Carson. She does her best to try and interpret me to the community and interpret the community back to me. We went down to the, we were all supposed to go. I was incapacitated by a disc, but, to the Georgia Native Plant Society meeting in Macon, mm-hmm. where we did a poster and, two of my apprentices presented the information about secondary succession. And they were very excited. There were a lot of people there, a lot of people interested in what we were doing. Everybody was talking about, how do we get rid of invasives? How do we get rid of invasives? And so we were there, and everybody got our cards and our brochures and what have you. And I've had one client. No donations.
So does your outreach coordinator collect these names? I really want you to collect these names.
Yeah, exactly. And let's ask Caroline to underline the reason why this is so critically important. And that
your basic fundraising pyramid, the top are foundations, the middle is supposed to be corporations, and the bottom is individuals. And so when you're going to foundations, they want to see that you have a broad base of support. So you have a lot of individual support. So with these people that you've helped out in their neighborhoods and their community centers and all that, those people should be being asked to give to support your program because they believe in what you're doing.
Right.
So they would want to support what you're doing, and then you can grow and go, you know, other places to do your work.
The idea being that looking at your overall fundraising pie, the mm-hmm. largest fraction of that should be people who cut you a $10 to $20 check a year. But they only do that typically if they're asked to do that and asked with some repetition. So that's where she's going with this question. Yeah.
So I totally get it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At various times, I've put in huge efforts to bring this issue to local communities, to organizations, to institutions. And, the response, as far as I'm concerned, if I can put it politely, has been rude. I can spend that amount of time actually saving trees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then I can see. Where you're, that's not your thing that you want to do, but your outreach coordinator could do that. And
how am I going to pay my outreach coordinator?
Well, with your individual donations.
So we
it's a chicken or egg kind of thing.
It's a chicken and egg proposition.
There were 250 people down at the Native Plant Society. I put time and effort into I consider it to be a really good a poster, a good effort with Kate. 250 people came. We spent money on it. We had to get there. We had to pay registration, you know, all that. One client.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So far, I mean, there might be more.
Yeah.
It's all good. Yeah. We made an impression there. But what was that program about?
Yeah.
Getting rid of invasives. What's the response been for our being there? One client. We just finished the work on that client. We did it right away.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. She wants more when she's found.
Right.
So, you know.
In the meantime, there's still quite a bit of work to do.
There are two lots of passionate people I found. Passionate people go, oh man, yeah, that's terrific. I want to be a machete man. And in actual fact, they don't, because it's really, really demanding and hard.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, oh yeah, that'd be terrific. I'd love to give you money. Next month.
Hmm.
I mean, I have been frustrated by the fundraising. And, you know, I can raise money with a very sharp machete. And so that's why we're here.
And that's what keeps you going.
And that's what keeps me going.
Yeah.
You know, we were, I mean, they made it personal and gave the Groundbreaker Award to me. And in accepting the speech, I said, you know, Machete Man doesn't exist as a person. It's a crew. It's an organization. And we really need the community's help. And I got a couple of gin and tonics. It was lovely.
So did you, the Atlanta magazines, that giving, I forgot what it's called, but they have, but they have a giving issue where, nonprofits, you do have to pay to have an ad,
this is a new version. Yeah.
And then they walk. I had met with the person from Atlanta magazine last week, this week, sometime. And it's a competition between the different nonprofits to raise money. And then they give you certain goals to reach along the way to help you get there.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how you won this award, or did they just, they found you?
I was out in the woods at East Lake Commons on a very hot Sunday with one of my young apprentices hammering away at the privet, Ziz, and the chair of the board walked by with one of the journalists from and introduced me. And she was intrigued and amazed and said, can I get an interview? And I said yes, and gave an interview, and she figured out what we were doing. But I had no clue that there was any chance that there would be any sort of award.
Uh-huh.
I was just thinking, well, hopefully there'll be a little bit of an article here, and, you know, the work that we're doing to save Atlanta's forests will, you know, get out there.
Right.
And it did with a vengeance. But as I say, the response has been maybe a client or two, but otherwise, zippo. All those folks out there who are running nonprofits, now's your chance.
Right. Well, if you want to be
good luck, everybody.
Right, exactly. If you want to be in touch with Dr. Dahl one more time, you can find them. The website is the Deep Forest School, or just Deep Forest Field School?
Deep as in ocean, right. Forest as in woods, field as in meadow, school as in place of education.
Right. .com or .org.
.org. It's .org.
.org. Right.
I'm awful at my own business now.
Right, exactly. So anybody with tips or hints, or if you just want to get out and play or be their second major donor with a gift of
$50,
please check them out and tell them we said hi. And any parting words for our audience?
Yeah, make checks out to the Deep Forest Field School.
Fantastic.
And send to our wonderful address on Sinclair Avenue.
Great. Sinclair Avenue. Okay, great. Caroline, anything else we need to touch on before we call it a quits?
I think we're good.
Excellent. So that has been the Nonprofit Snapcast for this week. Thank you for listening, as always. And we will see you in about a week. Have a great day.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.